makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, bring you The Charlie McCarthy Show, starring Edgar Bergen and Don Ameche. How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This Sunday evening, we welcome as a guest the distinguished novelist and gentleman farmer, Mr. Lewis Brownfield. We are, of course, Ray Noble and his orchestra, Bill Foreman, Joan Merrill, Mortimer Snerd, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy.
Don, who is the stranger you just mentioned?
Well, Charlie, you've heard of Lewis Brownfield.
Sorry, the only name I'm allowed to hear around our house is Edgar Bergen.
But, Charlie, everybody knows who Brownfield is.
Sorry, Joni, but I'm exclusive.
Well, you see, he writes books. Oh. Wouldn't you like to be an author, Charlie?
No, Joe, no. I'd rather be a plagiarist. They seem to have all the best ideas.
You might not believe this, chaps, you know, but once I wrote a whole book in one afternoon.
How could you write it in such a short time?
I work nights, old boy.
By the way, Charlie, are you familiar with Every Time?
I've never read it, no.
Well, in this particular case, you don't read it.
You don't.
Just listen to it while Joan Merrill sings it.
That's a nice
Every time, every time, every doggone time I fall in love, I get a shoving around every time. Every time, every time, every doggone time I try romance, I'm taking a chance on losing my mind. I'm gonna learn to be a hermit and live in a hermit's cave until I lose those blues my sweetie gave to me. I'm gonna burn my bridges behind me. I'm gonna hide out and then you can look but you'll never find me behind that eight ball again. Cause every time, every time, every doggone time I fall in love, I get a shove and a rod every doggone time. I'm gonna burn my bridges behind me. I'm gonna hate all you men. You can look, but you'll never find me behind that eight ball again. Cause every time, every time, every doggone time I fall in love, I get a shove and a run.
To know that playing hooky will get you into trouble.
Yeah, well, not so loud, not so loud. Blather now. Bergen might hear us.
Well, I'm surprised at you playing hooky again.
Mr. Amici, hooky is such an ugly word. Let us refer to it as justifiable absenteeism,
Well, okay. But why did you play hooky this time?
Well, certain things, yes. Well, very important matter, if you must be nosy. Very important, see?
Yeah, well, what is it?
Well, it needed my attention, see?
Yeah.
And she was pretty, too.
I see.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Egad, I've lived life to the fullest this last few days. It was just one mad round of westerns, rat-slugging, and elbow-bending at the soda fountain. Oh, it was wonderful.
Charlie, how do you think you're going to get away with it?
Oh, I got a racket. I work it out.
You will?
Yeah, you see, I told my teacher Bergen was sick, see, and that I had to stay home and take care of him, see.
You mean to tell me that worked?
For a while, yeah. But now they're going to come over to our house to investigate, see?
Oh-ho!
Yes, that's right. I think you see where I'm, the spot I'm in now.
Yes.
See, I tell you, it's getting so nowadays, people won't believe you. Even when you're lying.
Oh, now, what a shame, what a shame. But what made them suspicious?
Well, they think Birkin's signature on the excuse that I wrote looked a little homemade, you see. Next thing, they'll be wanting co-signers.
I say, chaps, what's this about playing hooky?
Yeah, well, not so loud, Ray, please.
Oh, sorry, yes. You know, I played hooky once. I didn't get caught at it.
Yeah. Well, how come?
Well, you see, I'd forgotten it was Sunday.
All joking aside, fellas, I tell you, I need your help. You see, Bergen just has got to be in bed when they arrive, that's all.
Well, Charlie, look, if you want Bergen to be sick, why not try a little psychology?
Yeah, but will they let me have it without a prescription?
Oh, I mean you can make him think he's sick by using the power of suggestion.
No, nothing doing. You know anything suggestive is out. You know that.
Charlie, you don't understand. Well, I bet we could talk him right into bed.
Yeah, well, if you help me try it, honestly, Don, I'll do anything for you.
Anything for me, huh? Well, come to think of it, my basement does need a good cleaning.
Oh, that dirty old thing. Well, you help me now, see? And we'll discuss terms later, huh?
Later, huh?
Yeah.
All right, Charlie, I'll help you. But something tells me I'm going to hate myself.
That I gotta see.
I say, though, I do hope Edgar won't have to take any medicine. You know, once when I was sick, they stuffed me with so much medicine, I was sick for a long time after I got well.
Hey, Jiggers, Charlie, Bergen's coming.
Yeah, now, remember, Ray, if he begins to get wise...
Yes?
Just play dumb.
Play dumb?
Yes. Yeah.
Well, it won't be easy, old boy, but righto, I'll force myself.
What's up, boys? What's up?
Your temperature, I hope. Yeah. What are you all looking so glum about? Bergen, I hate to say this, but you don't look at all well, Bergen.
I don't look well?
No. Your head is so pale.
I feel all right. I have good color in my cheeks, haven't I?
If you like green, yes.
Don, do you think I look bad?
Well, sure. You haven't changed a bit. I tell you, Edgar, you just ought to go to bed.
Yeah, for my health's sake. What? I mean, for your health's sake.
Yeah. Rubbish.
No. Doesn't he look ready to collapse, Ray?
Well, hasn't he?
Say, Edgar, you know what I think? I think you've got sliding thrombosis.
Yeah, complicated by lumbar fandango. And choice of two vegetables. Or...
Well, Don, that I've never heard of that disease. It must be a rare ailment.
Rare? Why, it's a collector's item.
No, please.
Edgar, tell me, when you turn off the lights, does everything go black?
Well, I presume...
Stick out your pulse. We want to take your tongue. just as I thought, your tongue is pink.
Well, it should be.
Yeah, but should it have purple stripes? All right.
But my health is excellent.
Well, that is it. It was.
Oh, cheer up, Edgar. You look fine for anyone hovering between life and death. Gee. Yes, you look just fine.
Yeah.
Well, wait a minute.
We're not trying to worry you, Bergen, but you know what you've got. Sometimes it's just zzz, there you are.
Well, I'm pretty sure I'm all right.
Yeah, don't fight it, Bergen. Don't fight it. It's so sad. You're just trying to be brave, that's all. By the way, do I have top billing in your will?
No, wait a minute. No.
Yeah, Edgar, and just in case, who gets your A-book?
Yeah, well, now, wait a minute. Now, stop it.
You know, I felt fine until you started all this, Charlie.
Me?
Yes, you.
That's right. Blame me for all those years of riotous living.
Oh, now.
Look, Edgar, why not be philosophical about it? After all, you've lived a full life.
Yes, I... You know, come to think of it, I... You know, fellas, I really do feel a little funny.
That's about time, too.
You know, I... Don, I did eat some mushrooms for dinner, but I... Yeah, I wonder if...
Oh-ho! You only think you ate mushrooms, or were they toadstools?
Well,
I suppose you know toadstools are number one on the Tomain Parade.
Yeah.
That's all, brother. That's all.
But I only ate a few.
That's all it takes.
Yeah. You know, Charlie likes them so well, I gave him most of them.
Yeah.
How do you feel, Charlie?
Yeah, about... Yeah. Oh. You know, come to think of it, not so good.
No, you...
So, Charlie, you ate them. Good grief.
John, I'm afraid I did.
Of course you did.
They got me, those dirty toadstools. They got me.
All right.
They got me. Hey, Don, help me in the stomach pump, so... Send her to hospital. Call the agony wagon.
Listening to Charlie McCarthy is always rewarding. But now, even Charlie listens concerning a matter rewarding to him.
Any hour on the clock, any day on the calendar, for the past 81 years, has been the time to enjoy Chase and Sanborn coffee. And that's truer than ever right now. In the past year, more people enjoyed Chase and Sanborn coffee than ever before. That's a record-breaking swing, the biggest swing in our 81-year history. Now, that's a tip, because these days, everybody is enjoying more coffee for coffee's sake. With meals, of course, nothing can take its place. And besides that, either between meals or in the second cup, whenever coffee is on its own, Chase and Sanborn makes the occasion. So make the most of your opportunity. Get all the coffee pleasure going. Enjoy the lavish abundance of extra flavor that makes this blend such a great favorite. Chase and Sanborn coffee fills your cup with all the flavor it will hold. The deep-down, whole-soul, satisfying goodness of coffee as it should be. So it's only good management, the sensible thing, to get all the flavor you can. Do that every time. Ask your grocer for Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Can only be Effie Clinker.
Oh, hello, Eddie.
Yes, Effie, you're limping. Did you sprain your ankle?
No.
No?
No, I've been taking dancing lessons.
Oh, dancing lessons?
Yes.
Well, now, why should a woman of your age be taking dancing lessons?
Well, we glamour girls have to keep up with the times.
I see, yeah.
Oh, whirligigs and whiffledrees.
Well, I'll bet you're the outstanding pupil in the class.
Well, yes.
Aren't you?
Mm-hmm, yes, eh? They call me the lassie with the sassy chassie.
Oh, they do, yeah. Well, I've got to tell Amici about this. Don, look who's here.
What?
Oh, hello, Effie. How are you?
Oh, your voice just thrills me when you say that.
But, Effie, I just said, how are you?
Oh, you get it again. Do that. You know, after all, Donzy boy, I'm not tin. Oh, there I go, throwing myself at you.
Yeah. What do you think, Don? Effie's been taking dancing lessons.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now, don't tell me you're a premier danseuse.
Well, I'm not the dolly with a hole in her mitten. Oh, nightingales and monkey tails.
Oh, now stop it.
Oh, I just bet everybody watches you when you're on the dance floor, huh?
Yes, they do. Mm-hmm, they do. They got their eyes on me. They certainly do. Of course, I feel so silly dancing alone.
Yeah, well, you know.
And who is this charming gentleman, Don?
Why, he's our guest today, Mr. Lewis Bromfield, the distinguished author of The Rains Came, Wild as the River, and his latest book, soon to be published, is Pleasant Valley, which emphasizes another side of Mr. Bromfield's activities, namely farming.
Is he really a farmer, Don?
Why, he certainly is, Charlie.
Oh-ho. I guess his books ain't selling so hot, huh?
Charlie, Mr. Bromfield is responsible for some of our best sellers.
You mean he digs basements, too?
Charlie, he wrote Mrs. Parkington.
He did? Well, the old rascal. Does Mr. Parkington know about it?
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you mean. Oh, yeah, Parkington. I enjoyed that picture.
Did you ever read The Rains Came, by any chance?
No, I didn't know. I waded through it at the movies, though.
Isn't it wonderful what you can do with a pencil, paper, and words?
Yeah, and Mr. Bromfield.
You know, Mr. Bromfield, we should collaborate. That's what we should do. We'd make a swell team.
Well, just how would we divide the work, Charlie?
Well, I could file your rejection slips and help you fight with your publishers.
But I never fight with my publishers.
Well, you will if I collaborate with you.
Mr. Brownfield, you know, I'm interested in farming, particularly the controversy over deep plowing and shallow plowing.
Well, there are two schools of thought on that. Mm. It's claimed that plowing only 4 to 6 inches deep yields better crops than plowing much deeper.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Bergen must have plowed a little too deep with his comb. No, no. He's sensitive. Yeah.
Mr. Brownfield, do you believe in having electric lights in your chicken coop?
Well, yes, we do.
Uh-huh.
For our eating chickens, we leave the lights on all night so they can eat any time they feel like it.
Imagine that. Just eat and sleep. What a lazy existence.
Yeah. Sort of hits home, doesn't it, Bergen?
And then, for the laying hens, we turn on the lights at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah? Well, if you're so set on this efficiency, why don't you equip your chickens with bomb sights so they can lay their eggs right in the cartons?
Oh, no.
Well, we're working on that right now, Charlie.
Yeah. Tell me, Mr. Brownfield, why does a chicken cross the road?
In my opinion, because it's the dumbest animal on a farm.
Oh. Well, I don't know about that. They're smart enough to get 80 cents a dozen for eggs. I guess that makes them as least as... Bergen, will you try and stay awake?
All right.
What I was going to say, until Bergen's gum got going wild, I would say they're at least as smart as a pig a chicken is, I think.
Well, Charlie, I disagree with you on that, too. Either pig is the smartest animal on a farm.
A pig? Those dirty things?
But, Charlie, I don't think pigs are dirty.
You don't? Well, Mr. Balthila, I don't know anything about your home life.
Listen, Charlie, a pig will balance its own diet by alternating the starches and the proteins.
Uh-huh. Is that why bacon runs with streaks of fat and streaks of lean?
Well, not exactly that, Charlie. But a pig's one of the few animals on a farm that can be fed cafeteria style without making a pig of itself.
That's interesting. That's better than most of us can do in those walking eaties.
Well, that is interesting, Charlie, isn't it? Pigs eating cafeteria style.
Yes. I don't see how those little fat rascals can keep those paper napkins from falling off their laps.
Oh, now. You may not know this, Mr. Brownfield, but I feel perfectly at home at the end of a plow.
Which end?
Oh, no, no. All right.
Well, tell me, Edgar, I hear that you run an alfalfa farm.
Yes, I do have an alfalfa farm, and I have some wonderful dates.
Well, I'm only interested in your farm life.
Yeah, I know. And here's a record for you Ohio farmers to beat. I cut 10 crops of alfalfa a year.
And that ain't hay. Or is it? Oh, it is hay, yeah.
That alfalfa certainly must grow fast out here.
Yes, it does.
Let me tell him. It grows so fast.
All right.
You have to run the mower at a gallop here. Or you can't see the path you've cut.
Oh, now stop.
I remember one day, the mower broke down in the middle of the field, and before I could get it fixed, I was lost in a forest of alfalfa.
All right, all right.
I was forced to send up flares.
Stop it, Charlie.
They parachuted food to me.
No.
And eventually, I cut my way out with a Bowie knife.
All right. Will you stop being ridiculous? You know, I know someone who could talk intelligently to Mr. Brownfield.
Who?
Mortimer Snurd.
I don't believe it, but I'll call him. Oh, Morty.
No. Mortimer Snurd, this is Mr. Brownfield.
How'd you do, Mortimer? How are you?
Oh, I don't know.
I think you'd like to meet him. He's a farmer.
Well, glad to know you. I'm a hick, too.
Yeah, no.
You know, Mortimer was telling me that he always has a radio on when he milks the cows because they seem to enjoy the music.
Yeah, that's right.
Well, what's their favorite tune? Cow Cow Boogie?
No. Yeah, that and the other one, Bessie May Moo Cow. Oh, boy. I'm as sharp as a razorback hog. Yeah, yeah.
Mortimer, do you separate the milk from the cream? I say, do you separate the milk from the cream?
No. No, I just separate the milk from the cow. From the cow. I'm a specialist.
Yes, I see. Well, Mortimer, tell me, what do you like best about the farm?
The best thing I'd say is square dances. Oh, I like them. Take it, Longfield.
All join hands and circle round. Keep Bill Buffer from dragging the ground. And now your next caller is Mortimer Snurd.
Oh, swing your rope. Oh, darn it, oh, let me see. I forgot what I'm supposed to say. So, Mr. Noble, take it away.
Bravo. Pip, pip, let's swing. Sashay left and all that sort of thing. I say, I'm absolutely exhausted. Would you carry on, Mr. Amici Gazzola?
Oh, yes, sure. Be happy to. Just right now. Gotta wait. Grab your partner, son of a gun. Squeeze him up a tight. Oh, some fun. You twirl like a spaghetti pasta bazoo. When you wake up and in the morning, you're all black and blue.
Our guest, Mr. Lewis Bromfield, has given us many good volumes. A word now about something with volumes of goodness.
When the cups and saucers come to the table, we know there's pleasure ahead. Just how much pleasure is up to you. Be sure you get your share. Yes, you can make your coffee cup a never-failing symbol of enjoyment. Just fill it with Chase and Sanborn coffee, the blend that made the second cup famous. This year is our 81st anniversary, and in the past year, more people enjoyed Chase and Sanborn coffee than ever before. It's the biggest swing in our entire history. A popular movement in favor of this richer, more delicious blend. Its extra flavor sets off all good food to supreme advantage. So it's an important part of every meal. And beyond that, between meals, at coffee time, when Chase and Sanborn is on its own, that lavish abundance of deep-down flavor makes every cup an occasion. With so much to gain, there's no reason for you to take anything less. It's flavor you're buying when you ask for coffee. So get all the flavor you can. Get Chase and Sanborn coffee.
Ed, will I see you anytime during the week?
Well, let's see. Have we any dates this week, Charlie? Where does he get that wee stuff?
Well, Charlie, I know one very important date this week. This coming Wednesday, January 17th, is the 139th anniversary of the birth of Benjamin Franklin, a much greater American than most of us ever paused to realize. Not only was Franklin one of our first and finest diplomats, but it was Franklin who raised our first war loan. He was our first postmaster general, founded the University of Pennsylvania, and is credited with inaugurating this country's first street lighting project, its first firefighting company, first police department, and first state militia. Benjamin Franklin was one of the leading abolitionists of his time, and from experience gained as a journeyman printer, bequeathed to labor this great maxim: he that hath a trade hath an estate. Yes, although it was one of his greatest contributions to mankind, Benjamin Franklin did more, much more, than discover the relation of lightning to electricity. How great and true a creator of American ideals he was is best stated in this, his creed: I believe in one God, the creator of the universe, that he governs by his providence, that he ought to be worshipped, that the most acceptable service we render him is doing good to his other children, that the soul of man is immortal and will be treated with justice in another life, respecting its conduct in this. Let us therefore next Wednesday pause momentarily to honor the immortal soul of that very great American, Benjamin Franklin.
Be with us again next week when Edgar Bergen, Charlie McCarthy, Don Ameche, Ray Noble, Joan Merrill, and all of us will have as our guest, Miss Dorothy L'Amour. This week, when you're buying coffee, think of us and ask for Chase and Sanborn coffee. Coffee made to serve in times like these. This is Bill Foreman saying goodnight from Hollywood's Radio City.
Have you got a sweet tooth family? Are they strong for desserts, good desserts? Then they'll love Royal Butterscotch Pudding. It's got that grand old-time butterscotchy flavor folks relish so. It's smooth as satin, creamy textured. And here's something you'll appreciate. It's quick and easy to make. Now, if you want to, you can dress up Royal Butterscotch in different ways. Put a spoonful of meringue on top of each serving, or add chopped nuts or sliced bananas. But honestly, Royal Butterscotch has such a grand flavor of its own that most of the time you'll just serve it as is, without a thing added. So look for Royal Butterscotch Pudding at your grocer's. Try Royal Puddings in those other fine flavors too. Chocolate, vanilla, vanilla tapioca. They're all wonderful. You know, women buy more Royal Puddings than any other kind. It must be because they're extra good.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.
KFI Los Angeles. Transcribed.